It was a night of sweeping storm, a spring when the rivers were brown and full, the freshets boiling, and the marshes around the abbey more boggy and treacherous than usual. Cold it was, too, bitter cold for March, and the wind-driven rain slashed against doors and walls and beat the muddy roads into a running ooze. God pity all poor souls abroad on such a night. Those who had shelter, be it ever so poor, clung to it, and within the great draughty halls of the monastery, the good brothers rubbed their chilly hands together, or muffled them in their black sleeves as they hurried through the cloisters to the church. The bell for Compline, the last service of the day, had just rung, and after that there would be a chance to toast themselves a few moments, silently, in front of the huge smoky hearth in the common room, before going to bed in the cold dormitories. The master of the guest house, however, the brother whose duty it was to greet any stranger of importance who came to the abbey, did not attend Compline that evening. Before the bell had ceased ringing, there came a thunderous knock on the outer gate. A porter hastened to draw the bolts, opened the heavy doors, and admitted, with a furious blast of wind and rain, a knight swathed in a heavy cloak, and followed by a stout servant, half supporting what might be a child, perhaps, or some slight or ailing person. Outside, the porter could just discern by the flickering light of his lantern two horses standing, heads down, tails close to their reeking shanks. He bowed the two men into the guest house hall, then ran quickly to fetch Brother Arnulf, the guest master, catching him just as he was about to enter the church.
"There be strangers come to the gate, Brother Arnulf," said he,
"a knight, one nobly born, I would think, from the manner of him, and a squire or servant, with what might be a child or young lad." The guest master turned back toward the buildings beyond the cloisters, bidding the porter see to the horses. This he did with willing speed, for it were ill to keep even a beast standing uncared for in such cold and wet. When Brother Arnulf reached the hall, he found the strange knight, his wet cloak thrown aside, walking impatiently up and down the rush-strewn floor. Near the glowing brazier, which was kept alight on bitter nights like these, stood a boy, delicately built, with large dark eyes in a thin, pale face. The servant had gone out again to the horse, and as the boy moved closer to the fire, Brother Arnulf understood why he had not entered unsupported and sturdily on his own two feet. One thin leg dragged pitifully. Indeed, it seemed as if he could scarce bear his weight at all upon it without falling. Brother Arnulf bowed dutifully to the knight and raised his eyes and hand for a moment in the customary prayer and blessing. He had scarcely finished before the stranger spoke, quickly, nervously, yet as one accustomed to authority, asking to see the abbot.
"Most surely," said Brother Arnulf, "my lord abbot shall be summoned immediately after Compline, which is even now being said. And while you are awaiting him, will you not seat yourselves before the brazier and grow warm in comfort?